¿Buscas las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's? ¡Estás justo a tiempo! Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. ¿Estás pensando ya en poner luces navideñas? Aprovecha ahorros de hasta 50% en escaleras selectas. Precios de Black Friday sin las filas de Black Friday. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta el 11-19, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
This is Sen Trader Hill, founder of Elk Valley Paranormal down in southern Middle Tennessee. I'm a self-published author, so please, please go check my books out. There's 3 nonfiction. The first one is Whispers in the Dark, True Ghost Stories, and Eerie Tales. The second is They're Speaking, Are You Listening?, my most compelling EVPs. The third is It's Not Goodbye, Signs from Beyond. And then there's one fiction, Web of Terror, a short story collection right along with my friend Mark Elliott Fultz. They're all available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle versions. So please go purchase them. Right now, I'm listening to Ghost in the Valley podcast. Come join me.
Okay, today I'm excited to have Becca Lewis on the show. She's an author, a consultant, a speaker, and so much, much more. Becca Lewis is a very diversified lady. She's been a dancer, a dance instructor, a teacher, a stockbroker, financial advisor, a waitress, a web designer, a diamond broker. Like I said, so much more. She wears many, many hats for sure. Becca is a mother of 3, a stepmother of 5, grandmother of 5, and a wife. It's also exciting when I have guests come on my show from my home state of Ohio. And Becca resides in the same county as I do, Trumbull County, Ohio. After having 3 children, she got a degree as a choreographer and ended up working 20 years in the largest financial firm as a certified financial planner. Becca's nonfiction, The Shift series, covers the system she developed and coached for 25 years. We have a lot to dive in today, so let's get started. Welcome to the show, Becca Lewis.
Wow, it's really cool to hear all that. I go, wow.
Yeah, you look back on your life through all that, and you're
still doing so many of those things, but at least not being a waitress anymore. That's a plus.
Oh, yes. I was checking out a few of your books on Amazon and on your website. It's very impressive. How many books have you written?
I really should sit down and count, but I think it's about 29 now.
I went through 10 or 15. I'm like, wow. And I know there was more. And I was like, this is quite impressive.
Well, one little bit at a time, right? The secret of life.
Right. And, I listened to an audio sample of Imagination Mastery. Mm-hmm. I love that you narrated the book yourself, and it kind of takes the listener into the classroom, I think.
Oh, cool. I'm glad it does, because it is a class, it's a course, and I made it into a book, and I was hoping the book sounded like the class. So I'm glad it kind of felt that way too.
Basically, what's that book about?
Imagination Mastery. Mm-hmm. It's part of the Shift series. And it's the whole idea behind the Shift series is that what you perceive to be reality magnifies, which is the sentence that everything else flows from. So mm-hmm. if perception is your reality, then how do you shift it? Because you can say that, but so what?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds good, but so what? So I come up with all these interesting, hopefully interesting ideas on how to shift your perception, like different tools, different ways to do it. And Imagination Mastery is one of those ways, because imagination takes you out of what you think is true now. It takes you out of that whole thing and then brings into all the possibilities that actually do exist in the universe that we can't see, because perception also filters our reality. So it only lets in what you think is true. which really comes down to what you talk about, because if you don't think that there's people running around who are not in this lifetime anymore, then you're not going to see them.
Right. You know, and that's what I said when I was going through, you know, when I get my guests on my show, I go through like Instagram and Twitter, which is now X, and Facebook, and, you know, and other people's podcasts. And, you know, I don't know how I came across you, but for some reason, it's just your books and yourself just drew me to ask you to be on the show. And I know it steps on maybe the outer limits of the paranormal topic, you know, because being UFOs and ghosts and spirits, you know, so maybe more right. in a spirit realm. And I just thought it was very interesting because you had said that your books, you know, some of your books relate to the paranormal, as you mentioned, like magical realism, you know, talking to the dead, not ghosts per se, but past lives and going back into time.
Yeah.
And you also said that that's where the Doveland series comes into play.
Yes. Stories from Dublin. That whole series is that whole idea of all those possibilities that probably exist with me. My idea was that many people have skills to do these kind of things. They can talk to people who have passed on. They can go back in time. People actually do have these skills. I know I don't have to prove it. I'm just going to say it.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I've met many of them and gone to some classes and learned a lot about it. And really, it's just interests me that these people, I don't have that kind of skills, but it interests me that people live amongst us that do. And I thought, well, why not Dublin, which is a town that people live there that have those skills, but live like ordinary people. And then what changes because they live in a town together? So, it started out being called the Carass Chronicles, because Carass is people finding each other in other lifetimes, and that you become this Carass, this group of people that do things together, that make promises together to do something in the lifetime that they're in, which I honestly believe to be true. Can't prove that either, but I believe that to be true. And so I thought I would write a whole series on those kinds of people who came together and found each other. So that's what the stories from Dublin are.
So Dublin is just a fiction, or?
Yeah, it's fiction. It's all fiction. Mm-hmm. There are people that know me know I threw in some true stories or true mm-hmm. things that happen in my life in there, but it's a fiction. It's fiction. All writers throw in stuff like that, right?
Right. Is Dublin series is it a 10 book series? Is it 9 books? Do you have to read those in order?
I hope not. I try to make it so all my books, I try to make it, if you come in the middle of the series, you still really love the book. Uh-huh. And then if you feel like going back to the beginning, you can, but you don't have to, especially the last three, in between Missing and Out of Nowhere, are definitely standalone. And if you don't know who the characters are and want to know more than what I tell you in the books, you could go back, but you don't have to read it in order.
Okay. You know, because there's some series, you know, you have to get that first book or you're totally lost, you know, not knowing who the characters are.
Right. I try to make you know the characters enough so you can enjoy the story. And then if you want to know more, you can go get more about them. So, because I have often found a series and found it and loved it in the middle of the series and loved that I could just understand what was going on and then went back and got the rest of it. So I'm hoping that works out for all my series. I try to do that.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that you developed the course, The Shift.
Yes.
What was that about?
Well, that is that's actually the course that started The Shift series. It's really that idea about perception. I've been thinking about this since I was a kid, which sounds weird, but I thought about it when I can remember thinking about it when I was 9. And there's a big long story about that, but I won't worry about that. But so I started collecting things, quantum physics, all kinds of things through the years about what supported my crazy belief. And then I realized a lot of people thought the same thing about perception, but they might not say it the same way. And back in the 90s, when I was working as a financial planner, I thought it's time for me to start teaching that class. And so I did. I thought nobody would be interested in it except for maybe a couple of friends who would come just to be nice to me. And and they did. They came. They were nice to me and they came, but it kind of grew from there. And then it became the first book in that series, Living in Grace. And then it just became my life. That's
I see that you wrote the intention of shifting our perception of possibilities.
Yeah.
And you also wrote that into your perception shifting blogs.
Yes. Yes. So I'm always writing about it.
Mm-hmm. So is the blogs like connected to the books, or?
I think everything's just connected to that one belief. It's like the books, the blogs, I'm always looking at the world and seeing what symbols, signs and symbols support this idea about perception, that there's many dimensions that we can't see. We're much more than our bodies, all those things, all those possibilities. Then I write a blog about it. And because that's what I talk about all the time. If you read a nonfiction book of mine and then you read a fiction book of mine, you might go, hey, this must be the same writer, because she's still talking about this strange stuff. So even when I write normal books, like I'm writing a series called the Ruby Sisters series, and it's
that looks interesting.
I love this series. I love writing it. Besides perception, my other favorite thing is the idea of community, that we survive, thrive, and grow in communities. Mm-hmm. Even for all us introverts, we actually thrive in communities. And so I have a few communities that I run. And so this Ruby Sisters books is about a community of women who grew up together and then their little adventures. It's still me. You would mm-hmm. still go, oh, she's still writing about that thing.
Well, it's always good to branch out to, you know, different ideas and topics.
Exactly. It definitely is. It makes life more fun for the person too, right?
Right. I think that you started like free emails that, you know, dedicated to perception shifting, also the daily nudge and the truth for today.
Yes. The truth for the day is for people. It is the daily email, and there's 362 of them, and people take them over. They get to the end and they do it again for years. So really it's just it's a picture now. I have a graphic with it, but it's an observation about something that I've thought about the world, just like what we're talking about. So it's more spiritually based. And then the daily nudge is more based on my observations of the world, how we see it, that we don't notice. So it's the daily nudge, because did you notice is the question. And this is a simple one, but did you notice that popcorn smells better than it tastes? You know, so that kind of thing. And then I do an affirmation to the nudge and then an affirmation. So it takes like 2 minutes to read. And I actually ended up turning those nudges, because there's 400 of those, into four books. So you can do it as like a diary every day instead.
Do you think that your perceptions and everything, I don't know why it brings me back to Reiki.
Yeah.
Do you see a connection there? Like we're talking about spiritual realms and healing, you know.
Reiki definitely says that's more than meets the eye. It's something, there's something more going on with you than just what a material method, when I say material methods, like something more people expect to use. So it's saying, I'm going to work with the part of you that's not nor something you could, maybe you can't see it, but I am going to change my view of you and my view, and you're going to change your view of you. And that's that will produce healing. And it's called Reiki. So it could be almost anything that you put all those wonderful holistic healings really come around from that point of view, that there's more to us than appears on the surface.
Right. I know I scanned over a few of your quotes you have posted on your Instagram page, and here are a few that really touched me. You can probably comment on them if you like. Assumptions can sometimes be true.
That's my last blog post.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Yes, because I know what everybody says, assumptions make an ass of you and me, but assumptions can also be true. And that was the whole blog post is about sometimes you actually do know something. you assume that you know it and you do know it. And that's what that whole idea is. There's, I keep saying this, but we tend to, we live in a box that says this is the way the world is and this is how we are supposed to behave in it. And there's nothing wrong with us being kind to each other because that's definitely how we should be behaving in the world. But everything around us shows us that there's much more going on than we think. I mean, from everything, you know, from the birds in the sky to the bottom of the ocean to things that people call coincidences or miracles are all just signs and symbols that there's much more here. And it's, I believe, this is my personal belief, that the only thing that can actually really have any power is good. And I think that if you think about it logically, that would have to be true because evil destroys itself. So we would, I mean, we get close to destroying things, but good always overrides it.
Because you have another one that says, in the real realm of spirit, there is only good. There right. is no choice of good or bad because there is only good. We appear to live in a realm of opposites, but that realm is just a story. So let the story go. The realm becomes more visible. I love that.
Oh, that's one of the truths for the day, I think. That you just
But, you know, because so much opposite, you know, so much hatred. And,
yeah.
But you have to have good.
You have to. Good has to be stronger than evil, really. It has to be. And the more of us who say that's the truth, because, you know, the agreed upon perception in the world is what runs it. So the more of us that stand on that side and don't let ourselves get pulled into the other side, we have the power. We just don't know it. I mean, we don't accept it, but we are the majority. The people that believe in good are the majority. We just don't make as much noise. So,
right.
But it absolutely has to be true because otherwise, as I said, the world wouldn't exist. It would have destroyed itself a long time ago if evil had more power than good. And it is just a story, right?
Right. You know, I mean, the first thing I did this morning, I got on Facebook and it's like somebody's beating another guy up and there's hatred comments on a political site. And then I'm like, you know, by the time I only did like maybe 5 minutes, but by the time I was done, I was already in a bad mood. I'm like, I had to put that away.
And
it's like,
yeah.
Man, so much hatred and just if you don't have nothing positive to put out there, I mean, it's like.
Well, on Instagram, they probably subscribe to the Good News Network. Because they put out good stories every day.
Right.
And the more, if we would just look at those, because we're shifting our perception, because what each one of us is responsible for our perception. So we have to keep shifting our perception. So when you watch that evil stuff, you have to go back to, no, I don't accept that as more powerful. You have to keep doing that to ourselves. Even if you want to take the symbol of a computer, you can't keep programming bad stuff in a computer for it to work. So we have to keep programming, in quotes, good stuff in ourselves for it to work.
I like the other one you had on there. Looking up at the corn, plants always remind me that we grow in our own timing.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Right, right. You know, these really stuck out to me, you know. Because, you know, and I look at that picture, that stalk of corn, you know, and I just went back to my childhood days when my grandfather had a cornfield, you know, and I remember laying in the middle of the cornfield looking up at the clouds through that corn, thinking, you know, how peaceful that was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right here near where I lived. You must have looked up at clouds and through cornfields.
Right.
Yeah. And when you think about it, I planted that corn and it was a little pink seed.
Oh, really? That was your corn stalk?
Yeah. Okay. I planted those corn standing beside it and it's like 4 feet higher than me. I'm like, holy cow. So go ahead. Somebody's going to explain to me how that happens, how a little tiny pink seed grew into that corn. I know there's logic how it happens, but really, really, do we really understand how life works like that? I don't think we do.
I remember as a child, you know, I've been on a vacation with my parents and we stopped at this little Indian town with trinkets. And I remember this old Indian sitting on the front porch and he was dripping his coffee back into his cup off a spoon, like a foot away from the cup, you know. And I asked him, what are you doing? I was probably like 7 years old. And the Indian goes, he's removing evil spirits from the coffee. And I says, really? And he goes, yeah, everything on this planet has a living spirit. And it stuck with me as a child, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember that one. And for some reason, I just went in unison with that stalk of corn I was looking at. And I didn't know it was your corn, but that's pretty cool. You know, I thought it was maybe a stock photo or something, you know.
Oh, no, that's my corn.
Sweet, sweet.
There's another picture of me somewhere standing beside it, and you'll see how short I am compared to how tall that corn is.
Yeah, another one was part of a tree fell. Yes, we heard it. And within a few minutes, a mom and her two babies showed up to check out the fresh leaves.
Yeah.
Not just for some reason, like when something dies and something is born, you know.
Yes. They all provide for each other. We are, as nature shows, the circular nature of who we really are. It's not competitive. It's circular. And we provide for each other in multiple ways. So I often use the symbol in my communities that I run. I always use the symbol of we are a forest. You know, each one of us is an individual tree. And we provide for each other in different ways at different times in our lives, because that tree is now the bridge across my stream that I needed. I couldn't get across the stream.
You know, it was weird because yesterday I was going to my dad's. I was traveling from Newton Falls, Ohio to Niles.
Oh, yeah.
And I was still in Newton Falls Township, and I was going by a small cemetery, and I was watching them lower a body into this a hole in the ground, and it was just fascinating because I guess all the people, or if there were any people, they're all gone. It was just the workers, and I watched them take the body out of the casket and lower it into the hole. I never seen that before. You know, it's like in a cotton shroud. And then they drove off with the casket. Well, I was telling my dad, who's got Alzheimer's, you know, he hits me back with, oh, that's what they did back in the olden days. He can remember like 40, 50 years ago, but he can't remember like yesterday. And he was saying back in a lot of his family members that if you didn't have money for a casket, you know, sometimes you just rented it and it was for show. And then you would just bury it like in a pine box or in a sheet, you know. And I know that just kind of struck me yesterday driving home or driving to his house. And I seen that for the first last year, I went to a cemetery where they had green burials, you know, and they talked about going green, you know, giving back to the earth and not all the junk they put in you, you know, and you know, if you're cremated, you still got to run that through a process. So because you have all those chemicals in you.
Yeah.
But I was looking at that, at your, a lot of your from front to back, you know, I have to applaud you for, after having three kids, you know, and traveling and getting your degree, you know, that told me you're a go-getter. Went forward, even with the three children, it didn't stop you.
No, I'm sure that at least one of them wished I was the mother that stayed home and baked cookies, but I wasn't. I mean, I made cookies, but I didn't stay home. I had to go to, I had stuff to do. So yeah, it depends. Yes, I never thought about it that I'm not boring, but I hopefully I'm not boring. But things,
there's
things to do in the world. I think we have promises that we made and promises to keep, and I'm trying to do my best to keep them.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, being a dance instructor and having your own studio and writing all these books. I'm thinking, you know, we probably needed another day. I have a few guests like that. You know, they need another day in a week with all the activities are involved with, you know.
Well, I'll be happy to do it again. You want to do it again? I'd be happy to meet with you again. You just asked the most amazing questions. I appreciate it.
Well, I really appreciate you being on the show today. And where can people go to get a hold of you or buy your book, your blogs, or everything?
That's funny. I was just thinking about this today because I'm getting ready to do something different. But the easiest, there's two websites that I work with the most right now, and one is mine. So it's Becca Lewis, but with one C, BECALEWIS.com. So all my books are there. And then I run all my classes on a different website, which you'll be surprised what it's called. It's PerceptionU, like in university.com.
Okay.
Where all the classes are that I offer. And I have a lot of home study courses and so we'll have to add this to the next time we talk, but my husband also teaches classes on the Seneca Indian teachings.
Oh, definitely. Oh, cool. Yeah, I may have them on the show too. You know, I love.
You'll have to ask them.
Yeah.
So there's a whole story behind that, but they're all there on Perception U, but so are the books. So you can find me on either place, and I would love it if people came and found me in my books.
Yeah, look forward to having you back on, and possibly your husband also.
Sounds good to me.
I'll put your links at the bottom of this episode so they can go to your sites.
I can't wait. And I'm going to go back and listen to some of your episodes because they sound really interesting.
Thank you, Becca Lewis, for being on the show. And please go to the links at the bottom of this episode. Check out Becca Lewis's books. All of her books are fantastic. And also, if you would like to preview one of her classes, the links are at the bottom. And I appreciate you stopping by and listening. I'll see you in 2 weeks with another great episode on Ghost in the Valley podcast.